Turn your Bibles tonight to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 is where we're going to be at tonight. And just before the message, Miss Capps is going to be singing for us. Caps. Get this thing out of the way. Am I on there, Tom? Is it high enough? Are you good? All right, very good. First of all, I just want to thank Preacher for the opportunity to preach tonight. It is truly a blessing to be able to be on staff here at Faith Baptist Church and to be able to stand behind this pulpit. I definitely don't want to take it for granted and lightly. And I was telling somebody tonight, you know, Preacher comes and makes it look so easy. I mean, he does. I mean, he gets up here and he delivers a message, and I have the privilege of sitting next to him, and I see his notes, and I can see what he has, and I just think to myself, first of all, I can't read it, but secondly, I just think to myself, man, what he's got there, and somebody said tonight, and I think they hit it on the head, he's a man that walks with God. And that's the truth. And so I just want to say it's a privilege and honor to be able to mount the pulpit tonight. And, you know, if you think you have something down where you want to go, in a direction you want to go, and then God ends up changing it, and you hear somebody make a statement or, you know, possibly through a circumstance or something like that, changes the direction and where you're going to go. And so that's kind of the message tonight. If we can begin in Mark chapter 2, get right into the message. And I didn't hear anybody, you know, about how short, how long. It is 7:32. We'll give it 7:31 just for your benefit. So we'll see where it ends tonight. No, I'll be mindful of the time as well this evening. Mark chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, "And he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them. no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Where Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. And let's pray this evening before we begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to open up your good book. And Lord, I understand that folks are tired tonight. They come through a week of work. And Lord, I don't want to take this time lightly. And Lord, I know they're looking for something from you, from your word. And so, Lord, I pray that I just be that vessel, that messenger, to be able to relay what God has given me tonight. And I pray that be a blessing to each and every person tonight. We'll give you all the glory and all the praise. In your name we pray. Amen. Obviously a familiar passage of Scripture. We've heard it so many times. These fellas come to where Jesus is and they can't reach Him. They can't meet Him. They can't get to Him. You know, this week around town, this area has been inundated with cars and trucks, vans, possibly even many RVs. And they've been bearing down on Bourbonnais, some addicts, some enthusiasts, some fools, some freaks, some maniacs, some nuts, some zealots, and what other synonym you can come up with, a fan. Oh, and the occasional passerby, just to see what all the hype is about. It's Bears opening day of training camp coming up. If you haven't been around town, you're missing seeing the stop sign here on Armour Road. It has been and continues to be kind of a mess going back and forth if you're on Armour Road. And I see here, though, that, by the way, I didn't get paid for any advertisement of that. That was free for tonight. But in the time, I want to preach tonight a message entitled Bear Down. Bear Down. That's the title of the message, is Bear Down or Bearing Down. Or maybe even throw another title on it as The Bear Necessities. I don't have a song, so don't get it. Don't get any ideas. However, I do want to lead up to that point talking about, though, the Bears, the Chicago Bears, national football team. It was written in 1941, Bear Down Chicago Bears. Some of you know and maybe can even sing the song, but we'll spare that for this evening. It was written in 1941 by a gentleman named Al Hoffman under the pseudonym Jerry Downs. He had actually no connection to Chicago at all. The song was written during the early stages of the Monsters of the Midway. As the year 1941, the Bears had shocked the professional football world by defeating the Washington Redskins in a league championship game by the score of 73-0, which remains the largest win margin in any game in the history of the NFL. As a result, the Bears became the first team in NFL history to have a fight song. That is their fight song. It is Bear Down, Chicago Bears. Make every play clear the way to victory. Bear Down, Chicago Bears. Put up a fight with a might so fearlessly. We'll never forget the way you thrilled the nation with your T formation. Bear Down, Chicago Bears, and let them know why you're wearing the crown. You're the pride and joy of Illinois, Chicago Bears. Bear Down. And relating that little story about the Chicago Bears, I look to the story here and see a crowd that's bearing down on the Savior. And they're bearing down to a point where these fellas come and they have a friend of theirs who's sick of the palsy. They really want him to get to Jesus, but they have no way to get to him. I see some things even from this song that relates kind of these fellas here. make every play clear the way to victory. They're looking for somebody to help out their friend. Put up a fight with a might so fearlessly. I don't know about you, but reading this story, I've often thought to myself, how did it really happen? You know, you see maybe as a child a house, you know, of some steps maybe on the side of the house and people trying to peek their way in a window or figure out how exactly they can find their way to get the best spot to listen to Jesus. And here you have four fellas and a friend here with them that they need Jesus. They need to get to a point where Jesus can help them and help their friend. And so in Mark chapter 2, these four men who bore this sick man of the palsy realized the crowd had pressed. We learn about that in verse number 4. And when they could not come nigh to him for the press, there was obviously so many people they couldn't reach Jesus. But they needed to get to Jesus. What were they to do? How were they going to get to Jesus? Well, I think first of all we need to establish something before we see how Jesus responded to them and what the response was. The first thing that they established, or that I can learn from this part of it, I believe they realized the one that could bear the ultimate sacrifice for them. I believe they knew there was only one great physician. There was only one that could really handle the problem that they had. This man was evidently, or had been evidently, in a situation where he's tried everything, maybe at his wit's end. He was looking for somebody to help him because he had a problem that he was bearing. He was bearing a horrible problem. 13 chapters later, in Mark chapter 15, we find out that Christ bore an agonizing price for them and for us. He was crucified. Just 15 chapters later. 13 chapters later. If you're saved tonight, I think these fellas realized who their Savior really was. He hadn't died for him yet, but they knew who he was. They recognized who God was. They realized where they needed to go. And the person that could only answer their problem, they had to bear down and get to Jesus. They had to get to that point where Jesus could help them. And tonight I want to look at several of those things. Maybe, and I really kind of got the thought of the message actually from, he's kind of behind the pillar there, from a thought that Brother Irvin said in his class. He's been teaching on the tabernacle. And he made the comment, and I don't even know if you realize you said it. He said, our sin divides us. But Jesus is willing to bear our sin for us. Do you realize, or have you realized, Jesus is willing to bear your problems? Have you stopped to think about Jesus? Yeah, Brother Larry, I do love Him too. I love Him too, but I also know that I need to get to Him to be able to help me with my problems, how insignificant they may be. You see, His torment brought us transformation. His pain brought us a perfect opportunity. His separation brought us salvation eternal. His blood brought bountiful blessings for all eternity. And His death brought this spiritually dead man back to life again. That's what Christ did for me. I hope that's what Christ has done for you. He's borne an ultimate sacrifice, something that we can't repay. But maybe there's somebody here that doesn't know that. I'm not trying to get you to talk you out of your salvation. I'm just trying to get you to realize that there is someone that wants to bear that ultimate price, and He's already done it. That's Christ. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 5, and it says this: But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. I think these fellas realized there's only one way to heal this guy. We got to get him to Jesus. There's only one answer for the problems you have tonight, and that's through Jesus. There's only Him and Him alone, plus nothing, minus nothing. It's through Jesus. They realized that even to the point, verse number 12, if you'll jump down there. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Look at this part. And he bare the sin of many. He bore that sin for us and made transgression for the transgressors. Christ did that for you and he did that for me. I think they realized there in Mark chapter 2, there's only one person that could help them with their problem. And they had to bear down. They had to get to Jesus. They had to get to the one where they knew he was willing to help. Let's look then, if you will, first point number one, how Jesus responded. First thing I see in bearing down, he saw their faith. He saw their faith. Verse number 4, and when they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed therein. The sick of the palsy lay. Verse number 5, when Jesus saw their faith. He saw their faith. He didn't say anything. He didn't hear them talk. But visibly, he saw their faith. Can I ask you tonight, are others able to see your faith? Are others able to see Christ through you? Christ made it personal. He made it personal when Jesus saw their faith. He didn't say he saw the crowd's faith. He didn't say the scribes later on. He didn't say that. He said he saw their faith. The word bear, the verb bear, means to hold or remain firm under a load. Boy, these fellas had a load they were bearing. I'm sure they thought to themselves, buddy, man, you should have found Jenny Craig. You should have found something. But I'm sure they gave him a hard time somewhere along the way about, man, you need to lose some weight. Something needs to... They had to get him up there, folks. Somehow they had to get him up there. Pulled on his arms, threw him up. I don't know how they got him up there, but they got him up there. I can't help but think when I look at this story of their incredible faith. They had faith. They took that faith and then they acted upon it. And so many times that we listen to a message and we hear something preached and yeah, amen, praise the Lord. And then we do nothing with it. We don't act on what we hear. They took it to the right place and then they acted on it. They acted on their faith. I don't know where you're at tonight, but maybe the devil's bearing down on you. Maybe he's got you in his snare, looking for you to waver. Maybe it's in, I don't know, maybe it's music, maybe it's standard, maybe it's just soul winning. You're just waffling, you're wavering. Can I be transparent with you tonight? You know, everybody faces the problem of wanting just to do right. Just getting up every day and doing the right thing, which is right to do. Taking care of your family, if you're married and have kids. Everybody faces that. And everybody faces honestly, that faith thing. Boy, does God really understand what I'm going through? Does God really understand the burdens I'm under? I'm just trying to say, is your faith maybe tonight? Maybe you're waffling an area and maybe it's just been bearing down on you. Maybe it's been even in conversation. Maybe you've had a harsh response to a spouse or a child. Maybe it's just you see that neighbor across the way and you think to yourself, man, he's got a brand new car. He doesn't pay his tithe. He doesn't go to church. He doesn't do any of that. He can afford those things. It'd be so much easier just to forget everything and go live like them. Is your faith wavering a little bit tonight? I'm just saying, these fellas, Christ saw their faith. He saw and it was evident in their lives. When you're at the store, do they know you're a Christian? When you're at the grocery store, when you're driving your car and you're pumping gas, do they know you're a Christian by what music they hear coming from your car? Do they know? Folks, I'm just simply saying, bearing down sometimes brings out the best in us. It takes a little faith. You know, turn your Bibles over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll go there. 1 Peter 1. It says this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There are going to be trials. The trial of your faith. When I read Hebrews chapter 11, I don't hear about those fellows in the great hall of faith saying they had it on the easy street. What's it like that? Now faith, Abraham. Now faith, Moses. I hear that they went through tribulation. They went through trials. It's not just going to be an easy thing. Faith, obviously, is the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we understand that's a basis, a fundamental thing about Christianity. But I'm just saying in little areas, do we have faith? We take time to think about that? Or maybe it's just wavering. You know, like the old boy down in Houston tells you, you know, just a little joy, a little faith in Christ. He blinks his eyes about 5,000 times a minute. I can't even watch him barely. I mean, just a little faith. Just trust Jesus. Folks, that's not reality. There's trials. There's persecutions. Those folks face things. And we're going to face some trials. Maybe it's in a family situation. Maybe it's at home. Maybe it's just, like I said, the day-to-day routines. Is it wavering a little bit tonight? How's your faith? How's your faith? Like I said, nobody said it was going to be easy. No, my friend, there's faith in Christ. Yes, He's the one that can bear our burdens. He can bear those burdens, and He bore those burdens for us to make them better. That's what He wants to do. To make us better. Christ-like? Thought that's what we're supposed to be, is Christ-like. I see something else from this passage of Scripture. If you'll turn back over to there in your read, if you'll turn over to Mark chapter 2 again. And look at those verses. I see secondly there, in bearing down, Christ saw the spirit of unbelief. He saw the spirit of unbelief. Verse number 6 through 8 there. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why did this, they asked the question, why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Looking at the scribes here, bearing down, the scribes were bearing down on Jesus. He recognized their spirit. We talked about faith. Not just faith, how's your spirit as well? How's that spirit? I often tell the young people in school, you know, a lot is said about you just by your countenance. By what people see. Not what's said, but what people can see. And that's so true. He saw them beginning to reason with them amongst themselves. And then he says, I think it's interesting. Why did he mention there in that passage of Scripture, he says, reasoning in their hearts. He was beginning to reason in their hearts because I think he knew that the Bible says their hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked and who can know them. And I think he understood that their spirits weren't right. I'm just asking you tonight, how's your spirit? How's the spirit? I have the privilege and honor to work here at the church. And I don't want to take that lightly at all. And occasionally, Brother Mick will get out of spirit or something will happen. But I don't work in the world, folks. I don't have to listen to the junk you all listen to day in and day out. There's a lot of unbelief out there. A lot of unbelief. There's a lot of those that don't have faith. Every day, unbelievers curse God. I was just at the store and had gone there. I can't stand going, but I went to the store. And as on my way back, I noticed coming out of the store, a lady a little older than I was, in a dress, got in a vehicle, and I got in my vehicle, and I'm getting in line here just at the light down here at Kroger, and she's in front of me, and I'm behind her, and there's somebody coming on Armor eastbound. And as we're making a left, we were, you know, first, as we're making that left, you know, to my shock and my disbelief, I see them wave gestures back and forth to each other out the window from this lady who looked like an upstanding individual. And I thought to myself, wow. Wow. You know, in public? I thought a lady, you know, that's what I thought. There's a lot of unbelief. That's all I'm trying to say tonight. There's a lot of unbelief. How's your belief? How's your belief? These fellows had belief. They knew that Jesus could answer their needs. Turn to 1 Peter, back to 1 Peter, if you will. Verse chapter 1 again. Moving quickly here. Chapter 1, verse number 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. How's your conversation tonight? How's your conversation? They were reasoning amongst themselves. Jesus knew that there was something not right. Their spirit wasn't right. There was something wrong with that situation. And He saw it. He understood it. It says there, how is your spirit? You learn a lot about somebody just through their conversation. A lot about their spirit through their conversation. What they say oftentimes doesn't always what they mean. Parents, right? It's do as I say, not as I mean, right? Or as I'm acting, right? That's how, you know, we have that. The Spirit is all I'm trying to say. The Spirit of the Lord can discern. I believe He discerned the situation. He understood. Sin, as I said before, will divide. And sin oftentimes will bring out those unbelieving hearts. How's your spirit? How's it been just within the last day or two? How's it been with your family? How's it been with your friends? How's it been with your neighbors? How's your spirit been? Your faith, not just your faith, but also your spirit. These scribes remind me of the state I'm from, the show me state, from Missouri. Lord, show me. That's what they wanted in that passage of Scripture. We don't believe. You know, only God can do these things. Only the man of God can do this. And He goes on to rebuke them. He says, if I would have said, take up thy bed and walk. He said, fellas, they sin. They're sin there. He's taking care of business first. One of those show me type attitudes. Some of us have that same spirit. I'll do it, Lord, but you're going to have to show me. I'll have the right spirit, but you're going to have to show me first. How about just let's do what's right? Because that's what God's Word says. I'm guilty of that. I'm preaching to me as much as I am to you tonight. That's something I've learned in this message is we're to be satisfied with what we have, but have the right spirit about it. Have the right spirit. My dad often uses a phrase, and my father-in-law would be the one that really is stuck with him. He says, wherever you're at, be all there. Wherever you're at, be all there. And that's stuck with me. Your spirit needs to be all there. Whatever you're doing, be all there. Be all with it. Have God behind you. Number three, the third thing I see here in this passage is Christ also saw the need of others. In bearing down, He saw the need of others. Turn your Bibles, if you will, just to Galatians chapter 6. I feel like saying, if you're getting familiar with your Bible, Galatians chapter 6. To your left, Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse number 2, and it says there, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This is where I want to get. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. What about others? Have we thought, stopped to take time to think about others and what they're bearing? The load that they've got on? I told you that term bear means to uphold. I tell you what, I realize and understand that we're not the only one going through a tough time, a problem, a situation. Somebody else has it worse than we do. There's somebody else out there that has something that's happened to us that we can't even believe. I've been keeping up to date, and Ms. Maud's been giving the emails that I've been getting from the censuses, and email after email. Here is his wife, Ms. Keela, giving an update about her husband who's in jail. I mean, I just stopped and, boy, there's somebody bearing a heavier burden than I am, for sure. Have we stopped to think about that? Illustration real quick. We have a neighbor boy who lives down from us. And just within the last few weeks here, I like to call him Dennis the Menace. That's my name for him because, and I guess maybe I'm Mr. Wilson, I don't know, but he is often over to our house. His name is Cameron. And Cameron's a little redheaded boy, and he comes over and he's just, are the kids coming out? Are they done with their nap time? And he's just 5,000 questions, you know, what's going on? Why, you know, I always tease him. I said, well, they're on vacation. They're not here for the day, you know. Go tell your mom she wants you. Something along those lines, you know. I always, you know, kind of give him, teasing him a little bit. And the other day on Monday night, we took a bike ride. I took the girls for a bike ride. And I went over to his house. He wanted to go on a bike ride with us. And I said, Cameron, let me go ask your parents. Because he said, oh, no, they'll be fine. They'll know. I said, well, let's go ask first before we go. You know how it is. Some of them just let their kids go and, you know. I think he rang our doorbell within an hour about three times before we actually answered. He's just, like I said, one fits Dennis the Menace pretty well to the T. And so I go down there and talk to Grandma. And we took him for a bike ride. I just wanted to get to know, what's this kid like? You know, what's going on? So the girls were up in front of us, up in front of me just a little bit. And, you know, he starts out and he starts riding and he's going to be the guy and he's going to show them. Well, we've been riding bikes and the girls ride quite a distance. So about halfway through it, slow down. And anyway, towards the end of the bike ride, I said, Cameron, I said, is your mom at work? His grandma said he had to be back at a certain time. So your grandma was at work. He said, no. Or is your mom at work? He said, no, my mom's lazy. And now, you know, for a boy like that, 5 years old, I think he's 5 years old. For a boy who's 5 years old, you know, just that's his interpretation of what his mom, which is sad. That's what he came out from. I said, well, Cameron, where's your dad? He's in jail. Oh, I said, why is he in jail? What happened? He stole some junk. I said, oh, okay. And I just begin to think about, you know, as a family, we joke. But I think about the situation. A boy like that's underneath. My girls have a dad. Comes home. He's lucky to have a mom that's even there sometimes. Have we stopped to think about the burdens others are bearing? Have we stopped? You see, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. But until then, I want to remain firm in my faith so that others can see. I want to bear the right spirit, and I want to see the need of others tonight. I hope that's your prayer tonight. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. Lord, I pray that what was said would be a blessing. And Lord, I pray to be a challenge at the same time. Lord, I pray that we'd have that Christ-like faith these fellows had. Lord, I pray that we'd also have the right spirit. I pray also that we'd see the need of others. Wouldn't be so consumed with ourselves that we'd have a desire to see what is going on around us. Pray that's my desire in my heart, Lord, tonight. I pray that there'd be some also tonight. Use this old-fashioned altar. Do some business with God. As the instruments play, the Lord's dealing with you. Come on down tonight. Why don't we stand to our feet?